Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Do you remember that this is National Day of Prayer? A lot of the leaders of the Christian church, as well as leaders of religions in general, assembled in Washington, D.C. this morning. They were addressed by President Trump. Prayer, as I write about in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, is about the majesty of union with God. And as such, I offer a pattern of prayer that has been revolutionary in my own prayer, union with God. Each day afresh, I begin with the prayer that our Lord taught his disciples to pray. Following the Lord's Prayer, or what I prefer to call as the prayer of Jesus, I transition into a prayer pattern I have dubbed the FACTS Prayer Guide. And thereafter, I continue steadfastly in prayer by means of the Jesus Prayer, which has empowered me to discipline my wandering and often anxious mind. You can find the details again in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. It is available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, Mitt Romney and Mormonism is back in the news. And this is after Mitt Romney charged that President Trump had engaged in what he called as destructive an attack on the oath of office and on our Constitution as I can possibly imagine. As such, Mitt Romney voted to impeach the president on the abuse of power charge that was brought ultimately by the House of Representatives and then tried in the Senate. In the end, however, the president was acquitted. But more importantly to me for this broadcast today, 8 years ago, in a failed presidential bid, Mitt Romney made a concerted effort to obscure the difference between Mormonism and Christianity. And as a Temple Mormon, one who served as bishop and stake president, Mitt knows full well that the Jesus of Mormonism is not the Christ of Christianity. Nevertheless, he blatantly obscured the real face of Mormonism through the manufacture of a Mormon mirage. And by the way, I wrote a flip chart that speaks about all of this and much, much more, and presents the Mormon mirage in a memorable fashion. You can find that flip chart on the web at equip.org. Well, today and in subsequent broadcasts, I will highlight the essential doctrinal differences that separate Mormonism from genuine Christianity, beginning with the angel Moroni, who allegedly led Joseph Smith to the Book of Mormon. Of course, that's what started the whole sordid mess. In sharp contrast to crosses that adorn the steeples of Christian churches, the glittering image of an angel named Moroni is perched high atop the spires of Mormon temples, and you can find that not only in the U.S., but throughout the world. And while millions have viewed his iconic image, very, very few people are aware of the significance that Moroni plays in Mormon folklore. So who was Moroni? According to the Book of Mormon, as a mortal Moroni, well, he served as the last military commander of what is called in the Book of Mormon the Nephite Nation. Upon death, he went to paradise, and he was subsequently resurrected, it is said, as an angel. Back in 1823, it is alleged by Mormonism that Moroni visited young Joseph Smith, and then he divulged the location of some golden plates that were inscribed with a record of God's dealings with the ancient inhabitants of the Americas, and that these plates contained the fullness of the everlasting gospel in what Joseph Smith claimed to be Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics. Smith also claimed that he found some magical eyeglasses which he was able to use to translate the cryptic writing into English, and that, of course, created the Book of Mormon and founded Mormonism, the very cult that Mitt Romney is part of. Now, the question, of course, is the Book of Mormon credible? While Smith referred to the Book of Mormon as the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone to their religion, its hundreds of flaws run the gamut from, well, you could say from serious to silly. First of all, whole sections of the Book of Mormon are derived directly from the King James Version of the Bible, and this despite the fact that the writings of Moroni and his father, Mormon, are said to predate the King James Version by more than 1,000 years. And in recent years, the widely held Mormon belief that Native Americans are descended from the Hebrew Lamanites has been undermined by DNA evidence. Ironically, Mormon biologists, Mormon geneticists, Mormon anthropologists, they all acknowledge that this powerful DNA evidence refutes the alleged historical accounts of the Book of Mormon. I'll give you one example. There's a man by the name of Dr. Thomas Murphy. He's a Mormon anthropologist. He's a scholar who says that we are now in a dilemma because the genetic evidence shows very, very clearly that American Indians are not Hebrews. They are not Israelites. The archaeological evidence shows that the Book of Mormon is not true. He went on to say that we based our beliefs upon the Book of Mormon, which we thought was an accurate ancient historical record. The genetic evidence was pretty conclusively shown that that is not possibly the case. And because we gave it the status of the Word of God, we have to change what we mean by the Word of God. That's a dangerous prospect for any religion to do. And I don't know that many Mormons would accept that as a possibility. But, he went on to say, there is not a lot of alternative. Well, archaeology has always been a very powerful testimony to the accuracy of the Bible. The same can't be said about the Book of Mormon. Not only is there no archaeological evidence for the language that is dubbed Reformed Egyptian, but Dr. David Johnson, professor of anthropology at BYU, admits that there is no archaeological proof of the Book of Mormon. You can look all you want. There's absolutely no archaeological evidence that you can tie directly to the events that took place. Nonetheless, you have people like Mitt Romney who are touting the Book of Mormon as being more significant than even the Bible, the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone to their religion. We'll be back in just a few moments with your calls, 888-ASK-HANK.
Former Vice President Joe Biden recently said that transgender equality is the civil rights issue of our time. When leaders of our country are framing gender identity issues as such, how does a Christian defend a biblical worldview of gender without being labeled a hateful bigot? The book God and the Transgender Debate by Andrew T. Walker is a must-read for every Christian seeking to understand what the Bible really says about gender identity. To receive a copy of God and the Transgender Debate, What Does the Bible Actually Say About Gender Identity?, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, 888-7000-CRI, or go to equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Throughout history, gender was understood as binary, male or female. Today, Facebook offers over 50 gender options for its members. If you're feeling confused, you're not alone. What is transgenderism and gender fluidity? In a culture ready to label anyone who questions the transgender agenda as hateful and bigoted, how should Christians respond? Christians need to understand and provide a biblical response to the transgender agenda, which is why the book God and the Transgender Debate by Andrew T. Walker is a resource every Christian must read to understand the issue of transgenderism and what the Bible actually says about gender identity. To receive your copy of God and the Transgender Debate, What Does the Bible Actually Say About Gender Identity?, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Thank you.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go to the phone calls. Talk to Tom in Decatur, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Hank, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm a long-time listener. I'm doing great. I'm a long-time listener. Actually, I go all the way back to Walter Martin in the early 70s when I was in the Army at Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
Been listening to the Bible Answer Man ever since. Wow. But truthfully, I've never called. But I wanted to share that the Book of Mormon, I read that about 5 years ago just to have some knowledge about it. And in the very first chapter, there's a story about a prophet that flees Jerusalem. And we know from the Old Testament that that God said, when you sacrifice only where he declared, the city that he declared, which became Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem exists in this first chapter. He's fleeing Jerusalem because he's in this book, it's saying that Jews are trying to kill him. And he goes out to the desert, and he builds an altar and offers a sacrifice to God, thanking God for his salvation from the Jews. And the funny thing is, that contradicts the very word of God that he's saying he's trying to hold. And it's right there in the very first chapter. It just blew me away, and I'd like to show that when I talk to Mormons. But that's really all I wanted to share, and thank you very much. I'll hang up and listen.
Well,
all right, Hank.
Thank you so much for your call. And yeah, I mean, as I've said many times, the errors that you find in the Book of Mormon are serious on the one hand, they're silly on the other. If you think about the category of serious, the Book of Mormon contains modalistic language that militates against the biblical doctrine of the Trinity. And of course, they, in terms of their whole theological structure, militate against the doctrine of the Trinity. Now, in the category of silly, there are many things that could be described, including what Tom was talking about. I was thinking about another example in Ether 15, where a man struggles to catch his breath after having his head cut off. The people, the places, and the particulars that you find in the Book of Mormon simply do not correspond to reality. I want to say something today on this broadcast as well about our premium, which is available for those who support the ministry. You can check it out on the web, equip.org. It's available for those who give. And you can also write me for your copy of God and the Transgender Debate by writing Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. But as I've said, this transgender revolution challenges the very core of our humanity. In fact, it challenges anthropology. Anthropology that you find at the very embryonic state of civilization. And nonetheless, this whole subject of gender identity is fast becoming the most fashionable social justice issue of our day. This debate, the transgender debate, is ultimately about competing authorities. Do we have the prerogative to reconfigure how God created the world, or is God's authority that which reigns supreme? When God says that men and women are equal in worth, we can take it to the bank. He created us male and female. And as such, we may have different chromosomes, we may have different body shapes, we may have different strength physicality, we may have different reproductive systems, but we are ontologically equal nonetheless. And that is a verity that we can bank on. What God, however, does, how he creates us, we must never seek to undo. And when we do so at our own peril. Which raises a question, a very significant question. Can someone be transgender and at the same time be a Christian? The argument is made that, yes, you can be transgender and Christian, but is that really so? The bottom line answer to that question is that a settled rejection of God's purposes for us as male and female cannot be reconciled with being a Christ follower. Now, the operative word in what I just said is the word settled. Struggling with gender identity is not incompatible with Christianity. However, a settled defiance against the principles of Christ is incompatible with the Christian worldview. I think of the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where he says, "Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" So don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, men who practice homosexuality, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, quite a list, swindlers, will inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says something very interesting to the Corinthian Christians. He says, "But such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of Almighty God." To live as a Christian is to accept the authority of God over what we think may or may not be right. A person's gender identity reflects how they define what it means to be a human being. God has created us as human beings in His own image. We are icons of God as male and female. Our identity, therefore, is defined by God. It's not what we define to be true. To deny, to overturn that distinction is to nullify God's revelation both in nature and in the Word of God. And again, that's why I say a settled rejection of God's purposes for us as male and female cannot be reconciled with being a follower of Christ. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Eric in Thornton, Colorado, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. Really appreciate what you're doing. I have a question to the same topic you've been talking about all week. In the LGBTQ community, I'm actually looking to jump ship in a career. I've been in my job for about 13 years, and the company that I just applied for, I was just reading online that they fully support the LGBTQ community, full equality. You know, I believe, you know, an employer can employ whoever they want. We're all sinners. However, I think they take it to an extreme as far as fully supporting them, giving them benefits to the transsexuals if that's what they identify. So obviously my inclination is that, you know, I really shouldn't align myself with that kind of a job as I'd be in direct conflict with God's word. And I was just wondering if you would confirm what I'm thinking.
Well, it depends on what they want of you within the context of your employment. It is true that people within the LGBTQ plus community are equal, that we ought to treat them with dignity, that we ought to love other people, irrespective of what their belief structure is, but that does not mean that you want to condone that belief structure or that you should be forced to condone or support that belief structure. So you have to treat everyone as an icon of God. And certainly over the years, I've had friends that are part of that quote-unquote community, and I certainly treat them with dignity as friends and as icons of God. But I don't condone the lifestyle. The reason I don't is because I love them. The lifestyle is detrimental not only to them as individuals, but to civilization and corporations within civilizations. So I think what we have to do is learn to speak the truth in love, but we must speak the truth. If you defy or obscure natural law, there's always a penalty for that, and that penalty is found within your own body, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1. I have to leave it at that, out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, the book, God and the Transgender Debate, is available for those who support the ministry. It's a great read, and it's very, very important at this juncture in history. Out of time, so long for now.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.